祝大家恭喜发财，新年快乐 ！Happy Chinese New Year to you, and I think we'll stick with English for the rest of you. Whether you're here today as an interested guest or whether you've been following Jesus for a long time, doubts about God are normal at different times in our spiritual journey. Even Jesus' first followers had doubts. Do you see that? Verse 36, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts?" Even at this, the most amazing point in the history of the universe, the resurrection of Jesus, these men and women were scared. They had doubts. So we are in good company. But even better than that, in this story, we'll find that he gives us good news to overcome some of these doubts. So I've picked out 7 from this story about Jesus and his international mission. Some of these doubts maybe you have, but 7 doubts that this story gives answers to. Doubt what the Bible's about. Maybe doubt whether Jesus really died or rose again. Maybe you doubt that God can forgive you. Maybe you doubt whether Jesus, proclaiming Jesus international, matters anymore. Or maybe just doubt that you don't have anything to contribute. Doubt that being part of Jesus' mission will be good for me, or doubt that it will change anything. So we're going to look at those this morning. So number one, doubt what the Bible is about. Many people do have doubts about the Bible. Is it just a book of rules? Is it inconsistent? Maybe you doubt that we can understand its meaning at all. Well, Jesus gives us a very clear answer to what the Bible is all about. Verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. Everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Now, Jesus doesn't use the word Bible here. He uses the correct terms of the day for the Hebrew scriptures in 3 sections. The law of Moses, or the Torah, the prophets, and the Psalms being the first book in the 3rd section, what we call the Old Testament. And what's it about? Well, thus it's written that Christ should suffer and on the 3rd day rise from the dead, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. So, the Old Testament is about Jesus Christ. It contains promises about Jesus Christ's death. It contains predictions about Jesus' resurrection. The Old Testament contains promises that sins will be forgiven in Christ, and promises and predictions that this message will be told to every people group. And we heard that last week, even from Deuteronomy chapter 4, that Jesus is for everyone. So if you're ever confused when listening to the Bible, try to think about how each part is connected to Jesus' life, his death, his resurrection, and his international plan to forgive all peoples. That'll help you to understand it better, because that is the way that Jesus read it and the way that it was written by the Holy Spirit. So Jesus leaves us in no doubt. The Bible is about him and it's for everyone. Okay, so doubt number 2 that we've got on the screen here. Doubt that Jesus really died or rose again. If you've got a doubt about this, firstly, Jesus gives physical proof. that he was alive. They really saw him. Look, verse 39. See my hands and my feet, that it's I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones that you see I have. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you here anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before him. Ghosts don't have scars, and they don't eat fish. But this really happened. And secondly, Jesus reminds them of the written proof in the Old Testament scriptures. These texts written hundreds of years earlier predict Jesus' death and resurrection in detail. The promises are not isolated. They're not cryptic. Jesus' death and resurrection is the main story of the whole Bible. So don't be in any doubt. It was always God's plan for Jesus to die and rise again. Okay, doubt number three, thinking a bit more personally. We may doubt whether God will really forgive us when we think about our mistakes, our sin, our shame. God could never forgive me after what I did. But the forgiveness that Jesus offers is not tied to what we do, but what he has already done. Jesus' death and resurrection is a real event that happened in a real place, a specific time in history, with meaning for every person's life, in every place, at every time. Did you see that in verse 46, how we can be forgiven? Thus it's written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name. So repentance means saying sorry to God. Saying sorry to God, why? Because God made us and we owe him everything. But we don't give him the honor he really deserves. We don't treat people made in his image as we ought to. And we make our own gods instead of worshipping the real God. This is our sin and shame, and there is nothing that we can do to make up for it. No good deeds, no rituals, no amount of praying can help. So if you are hoping in those things or doing those things, you will doubt that forgiveness is possible. But God, in his great mercy, offers forgiveness because of Jesus' death and resurrection. He forgives freely to all who say sorry and hope in him. So there's no need to doubt God's forgiveness. And if you haven't already, why don't you accept his forgiveness today? Jesus tells us, repent, say sorry. He can and he will change your life. Okay, number four, doubt that proclaiming Jesus internationally is relevant anymore. Well, this doubt is a bit different, but it goes something like this. Jesus' name has been proclaimed to every nation already. There are churches in every country now. They can tell people in their country about Jesus, and we can tell people in our country. And so we might doubt that the international aspect is relevant. Now, that's really quite easy to believe because it is true. There is a church in every single one of the 200 or so nation states in the world today. Yes, including Saudi Arabia. Yes, including North Korea. So we doubt, isn't this bit already done? So what did Jesus say? Verse 47, forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Now, in this part, the word nations is not the most clearest translation in our modern English. It makes us think of the word nation state, like the Federal Republic of Nigeria or the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. But that's not the word that is used here. The original Greek word up there is ethne. Now, you don't need to be a Greek expert to understand the meaning. You can really guess easily if you know some English. It's the root of our word for ethnic group. So Jesus is actually saying forgiveness of sins shall be proclaimed in his name to every ethnic group, not just nation states. And that is really important to know the difference. So here's a video that's going to help us to understand that a little bit more. Thanks, Chris.
Stands for unreached people group. But to understand what that means, we need to first talk about people groups. When Jesus told his followers, "Go and make disciples of all nations," the Greek words he used were ta ethne, meaning all ethnic groups or people groups. So what is a people group? A people group is basically a group of individuals that have a common sense of history, language, beliefs, and identity. It is pretty much a group of people that considers us, us, and everyone else, them. While there are about 196 countries in the world today, there are over 16,000 distinct people groups. Let's look at Pakistan as an example. That is one nation going by our English word, but ethnically, Pakistan has over 400 distinct nations or people groups within its borders. Around 7,000 of those 16,000 total people groups are considered UPGs, or unreached people groups. A group is considered unreached if less than 2% of their population is evangelical Christian. That is, it has too few true believers to evangelize and disciple the rest of the people group. Almost 3 billion people fall into this category. Over 3,000 of those 7,000 unreached people groups are considered UUPGs, or unengaged unreached people groups. These people groups have no churches, no believers, no missionaries, and no one actively focused on engaging them.
Okay, 7,000 still ethnic groups that are unreached, billions of people who don't have access to the good news about Jesus because they don't have a church that's capable of passing on the Bible's message without help from outside their own culture or their own language. They maybe have no Christian friends, no Bible, no Christian books, no pregnancy counseling center, no Galid house, no food bank, no church for people who don't go to church, no witness to Jesus. So I hope this really removes any doubt that we might have. Proclaiming Jesus internationally is still relevant today. That's why as a church, we set aside some of our money and some of our people to be a witness to the least reached people, both at home and far away. So if that's new to you, I'd encourage you to learn some more about it. Learn about which are the ethnic groups that do need witnesses to Jesus. And JoshuaProject.net is a really good place to start learning more about that. Doubt number five, doubt that whether I have anything to contribute. Now, I don't know when you're watching that video, it can be a little bit overwhelming to think about the billions of people who haven't heard about Jesus, the thousands of languages that have no Bible translation. So it might lead us to doubt. It's too complicated. It's too big. I can't really do anything to help. So let's just let the experts handle it. Well, Jesus says two things to this doubt. Firstly, verse 48, you are witnesses. you are witnesses. Has Jesus forgiven you? You're a witness to the power of his death. Do you have any peace or hope or joy in knowing Jesus? Then you are a witness to the power of his resurrection. Every Christian is a witness, and every Christian has something to contribute. Verse 49, behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So Jesus knows the doubts of his first followers. He knows it's too big for them and too big for us, apart from his help. But he promises the Holy Spirit here. Every Christian is baptized in, filled with, empowered by the Holy Spirit, especially for this task of sharing the message of Jesus to every ethnic group. Now, the Holy Spirit gives us all different gifts, and we don't all contribute in the same way. So I'm going to throw out a few different examples. First one, George, he's my friend. Maybe we can have a picture of him up. Here's George. He lives in Derby. He is a full-time electrical engineer at Rolls-Royce, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's done a little project creating some electronic devices to help an unreached people group hear the Bible for the first time by doing some soldering in his garage. And that's directly relevant to one of our mission partners. You can ask me about that later. Now, I know that example is a bit specialist, okay, if you don't like soldering or electronics, but whatever gifts you have, there will be opportunities to be a witness to the unreached, even at home. Not everybody is a mission partner, but every Christian can contribute. So let's be creative. So using Amber and Michael as an example, Amber's been part of the mission support team. She sets aside time to pray and to support our church's mission partners. Amber and Michael have both been educating themselves. They've been reading books, going to seminars. They hosted one of our mission partners, Asif Moore, when he came up to preach last year. And as they move to Australia, they have already said they want to continue to be involved. What a great help they will be for their new church family. If you are an asylum seeker, you will be living with people from places where there are no Christians. How can you be a witness to them? And I know some of you already are being. Okay, young people and students, you already have most of life's big decisions in front of you. Where your career will take you, who you will marry, what neighborhood you will live in. But if Jesus' priorities are your priorities, then make those choices with a view to being near an unreached people group and just live a normal Christian life, and you will be a witness to them. Prayer is so significant. Every Christian can pray for the unreached. And if you aren't already, why not just sign up to get one of our church's mission partners newsletters and commit to praying for them. Now, we've got an incredible God-given opportunity to have many unreached people groups in our city, many even just across the road. And I'm so encouraged to see the ways people in this church are already being a witness to Jesus in word and action. So let's keep going. And I think probably the next most obvious thing that we can do to welcome and reach people locally is an English ladies class. So perhaps that's something that we can continue to pray about doing that this year. Okay, doubt number six. Doubt that participating in Jesus' mission will be good for me. So this doubt might look a bit like this. More involvement with Worldwide Witness? Well, that's probably going to cost me time, especially time with my kids. Or maybe pursuing the Great Commission is going to distract me from my personal walk with God. Or supporting church planting amongst the unreached far away is going to take away from our local ministry. Maybe you might have thought that. But actually, these doubts look really silly when we come back to what Jesus says. He's the one who invites us to be his witnesses. He's the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. Would the one who saved us really ask us to do something that will hurt us? Now, I know we've only got 24 hours a day. We've got limited money, and there is going to be real costs to obedience. But do we think we're really going to lose out by doing what Jesus asked us to do? I don't think so. If your kids watch you be a witness, they will learn significant spiritual lessons along the way. If you want to grow in godliness, get involved in making Jesus known. And along the way, there will be opportunities to grow as you learn to rely on God. Not least of which is you'll be working with other people who might be annoying. People you're serving with, people in your gospel team who might be annoying. That wasn't a pop at people in my gospel team, by the way. But sometimes they are annoying and they probably think I'm annoying. And Naomi, my wife, often says I'm annoying. Been a bit off piece now. But the point of that is, if you serve with other people, you will have the opportunity to grow in grace and in love and in forgiveness and Christ-likeness. Okay, some of you already, this was nothing new to you. You could have preached this talk. You've devoted your life to this. I'm not just talking to the bishops. There's plenty of other people in the church as well who are like that. You know who you are. You know that church planting amongst the unreached away from home is a stimulus to local ministry and not a hindrance. But actually, there are many Christians and many church leaders who doubt this. Doubt that it's good for them, doubt that it's good for their church or their ministry. So let me ask you, can you use your influence to kindly and graciously show those people who you know that global outreach is not in competition with other local ministries? We don't have a scarcity of resources to divide between local and global. We have an abundance of the Holy Spirit, verse 49. And if we order our life and our church and our priorities around Jesus' priorities, we'll find his favor in it. Okay, last one then, doubt number 7, doubt that witness to every ethnicity will change anything. Now, it can be very easy for us to become doubtful that our witness will change anything because of the lack of interest we might see sometimes in our country or from our friends. Or we may doubt that after years of praying for mission partners or for a whole people, we can doubt that there's going to be any change. So, is this mission impossible? No. Not only do we have the Old Testament promises and Jesus' promises, we stand at a really incredible point in history, because we can look back and see the Holy Spirit at work. There are so many stories of unreached people groups becoming Jesus-following people groups. So here's a couple to end with. I think it's really great to see so many Nigerians join our church in the last couple of years. 200 years ago, there were almost no Christians in sub-Saharan Africa. The evangelical church grew from 1.6 million to 182 million in the last 100 years. Wow. Don't doubt Jesus' mission is possible. He really is at work. Now, in 1979, at the time of the Iranian Revolution, there were only a few Persian Christians, 500 maximum. But it was the small and oppressed Armenian ethnic group with a longer history of Christianity. They began sharing the gospel with the Persians. They wrote songs in their language. They used the Bible in their language. And now the Persian church is the fastest growing church in the world. And they're bringing the Kurds along with them as well. Probably more than a million believers. So 500 Christians to possibly millions in 40 years. That is incredible. And we get to see the results of the previous generation of witnesses in our church today. So don't doubt that your witness can change anything. Jesus really is keeping his promise. So let us be a witness to the unreached in our time so that others in the future can reap what we have sown. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you suffered and died for us. Thank you that you forgive us our sins. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have to be your witnesses to every ethnic group. So please fill us with your spirit and glorify your name. Amen.
We're going to sing our final song, and it is all related to mission. It's one that we know.